Dominique, good afternoon to you. I know you're locked in as always. I promised you Trevor Tosi Johnson. And following that, of course, the opposition leader. I want to talk about Venezuela a little bit there. And of course, his visit to Martinique on the weekend, visiting Dr. Sam Christian. He'll give us an update. Gotta take one quick break and then we'll come back. Two prominent persons in the house this afternoon. Stick around, Dominica.
Dominica, your super fast LTE network is here. Enjoy Digicel calling, 1 hour of free video streaming, unlimited WhatsApp messaging, plus up to 5 gigabytes of data on your LTE prepaid bundle. Activate it now on the My Digicel app. Come on, live the experience, Digicel. Digicel calling, 1 hour of free video streaming, unlimited WhatsApp messaging, plus up to 5 gigabytes of data on your LTE prepaid bundle. Activate it now on the My Digicel app. Come on, live the experience, Digicel.
Restaurant, we can have all the food we want. Today I'll take you to Guiyav. I'll have a soup, what will you have? Have you ever been to Guiyav? Baby, let's go down to Guiyav. You and me could go eat a braaf, a kalalu or a stew. When you reach, you'll get the menu. Fish and beef to name a few. A delighted spot to relax. I'm telling you, it is fast. Great food for the right price. The food is yummy and nice. A fabulous bakery. Great pastries in variety. Baby, come on, let's go with me. The staff, they're very friendly. So let we go to Guiyav, to Guiyav. We must go.
Okay, we're back. Trevor Tosi Johnson, good afternoon to you, sir. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Matt. Good afternoon, everyone.
Well, it seems a lot of people are a little worried about you. So we want to get in detail. I want to get in detail an account of what happened yesterday. I heard a little voice saying police in my front door. I don't know what the police were doing there, but since that voice, we have not heard of Trevor Tosi Johnson. Trevor, give us the details of what occurred there yesterday morning.
Well, between 6:30 and 6:35, I heard my door. You know, someone is knocking at, well, someone is at my door, knocking the door. So I woke up. I was awake, but I woke up from my bed, got up from my bed, and I peeped through the window, and I saw a police vehicle, a minibus.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the door. I said, hold, I'm getting dressed, because I go to bed tutuni every day. Right? I mean, I dress with tight jeans all the time. So
right.
At nighttime, I relax my
yeah, that's right.
So I woke up, I took a towel, and I went to the door. And the police officer identified himself. His name was Erickson John Baptist. Not sure he's related to me, because you know I'm from John Baptist side. But he had identified himself, and he said he had a warrant to search my property, premises for my devices. And he asked him for the warrant. He showed it to me. I read it. I saw it has to do with the investigation by Blackmore filed a complaint.
Right.
And it had to do with that.
Criminal so said, complaint.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, well, that's my laptop, yeah? Mac laptop. And my cell phone was in the bedroom. I said, can I get it for you? I get it for him, got it for him, and I handed it to him.
All right.
And he made note of what I gave him, and then he said, well, can he just go into the bedroom? I said, yeah, go ahead. There's nothing more. I mean, you could turn this place upside down. You're going to go find anything. Right. So he took them away, and Then one officer saw two thumb drives, flash drives on my table. He took it. I said, that's just my practice files, right? Uh-huh. I'm a chartered QS work doing. He said, okay, he will take it and he will look in through the files. And if there is nothing that they require in there, he will hand it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked if I could come see him. So I wasn't arrested. I wasn't detained. As some people, you know, there's a difference between being interviewed and detained. They never mm-hmm. detained me.
Okay.
And of course, as I said, the police acted professionally in the way they conduct themselves. They had a warrant. They so showed me the warrant.
So you want to congratulate them?
Of course, of course. I mean, when they're doing the work, they have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're doing it properly, I have to, you know, applaud them for that. So he presented the
warrant.
Warrant. I looked at it, read it, and I said, look, they had the devices handed. So he asked me to visit his office. So I said, all right, so I'll come at headquarters, right, at 10 o'clock. He said, no, not headquarters, traffic. So I'm like, traffic? So I said, wait, so Mills is in traffic now, right? Because I saw some minutes or some memo being sent out, circulated out there. So I said, wait, Mills is out there at traffic, and now traffic is investigating something that, remember I told you, Matthew Coffey, who is the head of the CID, contacted me 3 weeks ago. Just returned from London back to Trinidad. And I said, well, I'm in Trinidad where I'm residing, but I'll make myself available, right? Because the police wants to talk to me.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, no problem.
Why not, you know? Mm-hmm. I contacted my attorneys, Kara Shillingford and David Bruni. And David Bruni agreed to visit the police headquarters to make an appointment for the interview. When he went, they told him that Matthew Coffey, who is the head of the CID, and I've been advised that he's the best investigator on island.
He has been highly commended.
Yeah, exactly. Was removed from the investigation.
You're joking.
Yep. So once I heard that...
He's still at CID, but...
He was removed from the investigation.
Okay.
So when I heard that, David Bruni, my attorney, said, well, maybe that's it for the case. I said, well, I've already booked my flight to Dominica. I'll still come to Dominica. I mean, you know, I love my Dominica. Right, I'll come, right. You know. So I came and I've been moving around. I've been saying hello to the police. Police officers have been waving me. I've seen Clarence Christian, who indicated that it was a warrant for my arrest. You remember he was saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
On his program and on Facebook. And I said, well, I'm here.
Is Clarence associated with the police at all?
I don't know. Well, he had it wrong because there was no warrant for my arrest. There was a request to be interviewed. And there was a warrant for the detainment of my devices. Mm-hmm. Right? That's all. So I saw him and I waved him. He nodded at me and I shook the former president's Williams, his hands, and I didn't bother shake Clarence Christian's hand.
Mm.
So, you know, so I told him, I was shocked when I was told I have to be at traffic department. I know CIDs, they are at the police headquarters.
Right.
And I know some of the CID officers. In fact, Mills was a CID officer too, mm-hmm. right? Until his transfer. So I contacted both of my attorneys before when I heard the knock at the door. That's when I sent out the voice note, all right? Because I knew they were maybe coming for my device or they were maybe coming to arrest me, all right? Because Clarence Christian, who is an operative of the Labour Party, is saying that he must have had inside information. So I immediately sent out the voice note to a chat group that I'm in, to Lennox,
mm-hmm.
To my sister, and to David Bruni, to let them know police is
at your door,
at my door. So in case I was being brought away, detained,
yes,
they would have had my they would know where yeah. I am.
Mm.
Exactly. So I told him, all right, 10 o'clock, I contacted David. David is ill at the moment. So he asked that Cara, could attend. She attended with me at 10 o'clock. Mr. Erickson, Officer Erickson, John Baptist was there. He waited for us. He asked a lot of questions. I was advised by
Is he a CID officer?
No, traffic. He works at traffic. I don't know. Somebody said he's also a traffic officer, but in the special branch.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've been advised. I don't know. I mean, you know.
You don't have full details of
that. I don't know, but that's what I've been told by another police officer. Mm-hmm. So he, my lawyer advised me, I have nothing to say. I should say nothing.
Okay.
And they asked about maybe 30 questions.
30
questions. And
including questions like what?
My name. I didn't answer that. They asked if I know of Mr. Blackmore. I didn't answer that. Do I know his rank in the government? I didn't answer. They asked if I believe the story that was posted on Mass in the Cemetery. I didn't answer that, but I was like, why would they ask me that if I believe that or not? What, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They ask if I made any effort to verify the story in the MITC story article. I'm like, why should I, like, you, if you read it, Lennox, I sure read it. Would he verify it? That's not his business to verify. Mm. The people who wrote the article are the ones that have to verify. So if they verified and they wrote that is their, if they didn't, that is their problem with Blackmore. You understand what I'm saying? That's not my business. Mm-hmm. So why would you be asking me that question? And they ask if I know the person behind Clint Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't answer that question. And I'm not going to answer that question even now, you know, because it's a police investigation, so I'm not going to answer that. If I know who set up the domain for MITC, I was Mumu. That is not my business. Right. I don't know. In fact, I have people on my WhatsApp from all over the world. I don't even know their name. Some of them, if you're from Barbados, you have 246 number, I say, friend in Barbados. I don't ask who you are.
I know. You don't even, sometimes you don't even put people's name.
Yeah, you just see the chat. So I don't know, you know, so much as for me to know who is Clint Lowe. I mean, I know Tamara Lowe.
Yeah.
You know, but don't ask me about Clint Lowe. That's not my business. I don't need to know him. You know, I know people like Lennox, my close friend. I know a few people. So they ask these questions and so about 30 questions. And as I said, I didn't answer any. My lawyer asked, can I get my devices? He said, no, they have not taken it to the NJIC,
mm-hmm.
National Joint Investigation something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they have to, a police technician, they have to check it out first before they return it. But Matt, they could give it to you. I don't need it because you know what NJIC is.
Yeah.
I don't need it. If somebody wants it, when they return it, you can collect it at my lawyer's office.
That's all.
Yeah. You can clean it. Burgess is a good IT.
So you're going to give it to somebody that
I don't want them. I don't want the iPhone. I don't want the Mac.
Okay.
I will buy a new one. All right. I don't want it. So they said no, they have to check it out. And when it is ready, they will return it and pass it on to Martinez. And of course, Martinez asked one question. Martinez asked, because when I spoke to you some time ago, and when I speak to people, I always say that there are some serious allegations about the senior minister in this article. And the first thing I think that should be done is for the police to investigate whether or not these allegations are true. Because they are serious allegations, Matt. And if it is found that somebody is lying on the minister, then you take the step of going after the person for criminal libel, as they said.
Right.
But it would seem that they are coming, they are interviewing me, they are confiscating my devices without they find out whether or not the story is true of, you know.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So
a lot of people are already laying claim they want this laptop, they want this.
Well, yeah, they can have it. So and the iPhone. My lawyer asked, have you arrested the minister?
Mm-hmm.
So that's so she asked that question on my behalf. Have you? The officer smiled and he said he don't know about that. And that was really it. He said, thank you. Well, they showed me quite a few of videos of a gentleman about the other. They seem to be collecting people postings on Facebook and on social media. So when you're forwarding things around, you know, you need to know what you're forwarding. You know, so they showed me a few photos on the computer on the desktop, and they asked if that person is me. I didn't answer. That was about four videos of a gentleman. I didn't respond to that question. There was something they asked that. Oh yeah, they asked if I posted the MITC story on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't answer to that. But of course, that is something that Trevor Johnson would never do, because people have been sued in Trinidad for sharing articles or sharing beth or sharing gossip, you know? Because once you share that, you're actually taking ownership of that. So I didn't answer that question, but I am telling everybody out there that you would never find me sharing an article that have made allegations about somebody. Maybe some international article, if the Sun in Trinidad in the UK
or CNN
or Mail or CNN, yes, but not an article of a blog. You know, this is a blog. This is an online blog. I wouldn't do that. I'm not that. As I tell people, I attended St. Luke's School. You know, I didn't attend a school in VCAS.
Our alma mater.
You know, so I know what to say and what you know. I would never do that. So these were the questions that were asked.
But are you worried going forward, though?
No, but Matt, if I was worried, I wouldn't come to Dominica. You know, the police requested my presence for an interview 3 weeks ago. I've been here for 2 weeks. Waiting. I've been waiting. So I came. I'm not afraid. I'm worried about my relatives who are taking it hard, like my mom, my aunts. They are, you know, in tears because they heard that I was arrested. But me, I took by my great-grandmother, Yvonne Charles from Lapwet. Uh-huh. I took by her. She was a powerful woman. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm not afraid of anything.
Once I
know how to conduct myself appropriately. I'm not involved in any criminality, right? I'm not involved in that. Once I know I'm clear on that, I don't have nothing to be worried about.
All right.
Let the police do what they're doing.
We have a few more minutes. Will we see Trevor Johnson back in the loop? In other words, we saw videos in the past, you commenting on the toilet. Will we see that again in the near future?
If there are things in Dominica that have to be talked about, that have to be brought out for the people to see what is happening in Dominica, I will do it. That's me.
That incident yesterday has not moved yet.
Nah, man. I don't have a device. No, the police took my devices. I went to Portsmouth. Not Portsmouth. I went to Mirror yesterday. I saw a lot of... I every day I drive through Newtown. There's a big pothole in the middle of the road in Newtown. I'm praying for the rain to come down, so I'll take a jacuzzi bath. You know, and I'll put it up for you to see.
So you're gonna buy some new devices?
I have to. I mean, that's
you
my.
You have to communicate.
Yes. I mean,
everybody been trying to. Reach
I'm
you.
Here, but I do work in Trinidad. I have to send my reports to my clients, so you know, I have to hide in my devices.
So Trevor Johnson will continue being Trevor Johnson. Somebody's on the line for you. Take that call, and then we will conclude that discussion. Dominica, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back right after this.
Dominica, your super fast LTE network is here. Enjoy Digicel calling, 1 hour of free video streaming, unlimited WhatsApp messaging, plus up to 5 gigabytes of data on your LTE prepaid bundle. Activate it now on the My Digicel app. Come on, live the experience. Digicel.
Restaurant, we can have all the food we want. Today I'll take you to Guiyav.
I'll have a soup, what will you have?
Have you ever been to Guiyav? Baby, let's go down to Guiyav. You and me could go eat a braaf, a kalalu or a stew. When you reach, you'll get the menu. Fish and beef to name a few. A delighted spot to relax. I'm telling you, it is fast. Great food for the right price. The food is yummy and nice.
a fabulous bakery. Great pastries in variety. Baby, come on, let's go with me. The staff, they're very friendly. So let we go to Guiave. To Guiave, we must go.
To Guiave, we must go. Trevor Johnson, give us your final comments at this time as you go. A lot of people, as you said, a little worried about you.
They have nothing to worry about. This is, you know me. I'm Trevor Johnson, Tossy Johnson.
Okay.
I was raised in Lapwet. I went to school in Lapwet, so I know how to conduct myself. I'm not afraid of anybody. Let the police do their work. I always tell, you know, you have to allow the police to do their work, you know. The police is under pressure by politicians to do their bidding.
Mm-hmm.
That is their business. And I understand what the pressure they are facing. Do your work, boss, and I will support the police for doing their work. I will defend myself if I have to defend myself. You understand? So don't worry, man. Tossy is Tossy and will always be Tossy. All right?
You have a loving sister, you know, a little concern at this time. So let's say good afternoon to you, Tommy. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon. 128 Tossy, we will talk again sometime. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Before I introduce Lennox Linton this afternoon, I'm going to play you.
The Commonwealth of Dominica strongly opposed and the worrisome consequences of those events. The Commonwealth of Dominica strongly upholds the principle of non-intervention in the internal affairs of any sovereign state. Mr. President, on the 20th of May 2018, elections were held in the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela in accordance with its constitution, and the election outcome returned to President Nicolas Maduro as the duly elected president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. The government of the Commonwealth of Dominica, in its utterances and by its actions, fully respects the will of the people of any sovereign nation as exercised through the electoral process. Following the accepted standards, governing outcomes of the duly held elections, the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica accepted the results and recognizes the re-elected government of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. Mr. President, the Commonwealth of Dominica is concerned about the expressions of support for a transitional government in Venezuela and declarations of the illegitimacy of the Nicolas Maduro government. We wish to place on record our opposition to such a position. Recognition of a self-declared government outside of the electoral process is a clear repudiation of the will of the people. There cannot be a parallel government in Venezuela. Mr. President, such recognition does not reaffirm the right of the people of Venezuela to peace and to democracy. Rather, it opens the door to confusion and civil strife. Instead, the international community should expend efforts to help build peace, promote reconciliation, and help find a solution that will not result in bloodshed. We maintain that in order to peacefully resolve the situation in the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, there must be dialogue between the parties, and the Commonwealth of Dominica stands ready in conjunction with other like-minded states to offer its good offices to assist in that regard. We therefore urge member states to exercise caution and let prudence guide us. I thank you, Mr. President.
All right, before I introduce you, Leonard Clinton, I want to give you, I'm sure you have listened to yourself, I want to give you a piece of a report we've been following there on from the CNN that I've been following very closely, and we shared this morning. Let's listen to this piece of from CNN before we take that.
The crisis in Venezuela, the self-proclaimed interim president, Juan Guaido, tells the Washington Post that the opposition is in talks with sympathetic military officials to oust President Nicolas Maduro. Maduro is calling the political upheaval a U.S.-led coup.
CNN's Nick Payton Walsh went undercover inside Venezuela to capture the desperation that is gripping the nation. It could lead to political change. Nick joins us now with his exclusive report. He's live in neighboring Bogota, Colombia. Nick, tell us what you learned.
John, it is startling how we tend to cast the crisis in Venezuela as some big geopolitical new Cold War battle of wills between Moscow and Washington. But really, for people inside, it's about food. It's about the startling mismanagement and corruption of the Nicolas Maduro government and how that's left people unable to get the daily things you and I take for granted: water, dinner, breakfast. I should point out for you on a technical note, many of the people we spoke to requested anonymity out of fear. And because of how we film, some of the audio isn't the very best, so don't adjust your set. But here is what the last week inside Venezuela looked like.
Cross into Venezuela's unending disaster, the world's worst growing refugee crisis. And it's like the world, as you know it, is slowly ending. Oil once made them the richest in South America, but this is now the line for 3 days and nights to get a full tank. In the capital, there's a queue for everything, everywhere. Hunger breeds a special kind of anger.
This is how hyperinflation works. These groceries cost $50 now, but because of what's happening with the local currency, they'll be worth double at least by next month. People paying tomorrow's prices today.
There's no queuing for the youngest, living off what, even here, nobody wants. This isn't play, it's practice for self-defense. My brother got killed in July by another gang, says 14-year-old Usmaria. They found the body in the river. We gather stuff, we beg, a piece of chicken skin to take home. In a socialist utopia that now leaves nearly every stomach empty. This was the day when change was meant to come. Hundreds of thousands flooding central Caracas, watching opposition leader Juan Guaido swear himself in as interim president. But it fast turned sour. They've had this standoff outside the military airfield here for months. But this is the first time with an opposition leader claiming the presidency. All eyes were on the army and whether it too would rise up.
This is the important question really in the standoff. It's about the military's vote. They may be throwing stones at them here, but what they really need is the army to switch sides.
That didn't happen. And the police tear gas and motorcycle charges sent us fleeing down side streets.
Yes, 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 or no?
Some likely wounded, although dozens reported dead during the day. It was up here, in the normally loyal slums, where the fight was nastiest. Special forces entered these streets. They'd been coming back to make arrests all during the afternoon, when we're invited to meet Carolina's extended family, where Maduro's base has long lived. State handouts bought their loyalty for years. But now this is all she has to feed for this day. And they say now they too want Maduro gone. We can't hold it in anymore, one of her cousins says. We're being crushed. We're beggars now, always begging. This isn't political, it's survival. People are killing each other for a kilo of rice, for water. Army defectors outside Venezuela called on soldiers to rise up. But we hear from one junior officer that even when you can't feed your family, it's more complicated. I would say 80% of soldiers are against the government. Some even go to demonstrations. But the big fishers, the senior officers, are the ones eating, getting rich, while at the bottom, we have it hard. I get a dollar and a half every month, promptly, enough for one chicken and a food box from the barracks. Then we have to work magic to make it last like everyone else.
Would you, or the soldiers you know at your level, would you open fire on resistance people in the streets?
I'd rather quit. That person could be my brother or my mother. We need a general to flip, to make a change.
All right, Dominica, we're going to take it out here. I'm sure you can follow CNN yourself and see what's happening in Venezuela. Let's go to the opposition leader in Dominica. Clearly, looking at that video, Lennox, I saw a little emotion there, like you were feeling for the people in the streets. What's your take, Lauren Banis, and this from Venezuela?
Good afternoon, Matt. Good afternoon to the people of Dominica, people of Concord and Marigot, people of Venezuela. Matt, the situation in Venezuela is horrible. Horrible because this is a country that has the largest oil reserves in the world. Yet, because of the way in which the government has operated, Venezuela finds itself unable to feed its people. Venezuela has its people living out of garbage cans, begging, lining up for food that they cannot get, lining up for gas to put in their vehicles, fleeing the country in millions because they cannot take it anymore. Over 3 million people have left Venezuela.
3 million?
Over 3 million. That is more than 40 times the population of Dominica have left their country. The same country whose government, after Maria, gave us in debt forgiveness $270 million. Does anybody in Dominica have any idea what $270 million could do for some poor, suffering, struggling, broken people in Venezuela right now?
Each Dominican could get $1 million and there's a lot more change.
But when you think about it, and you think of the loyalists of Chavez and Maduro who are now breaking ranks because they've had enough, they have seen what leading people into lives of begging and dependency have done for them, and it is not good. The message for Dominica is that is exactly where we are heading.
You think so?
Matt, we cannot make more passport money than Venezuela had oil money. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. And yet with all of those oil dollars, look at where Venezuela is because of the way the government has operated. And our government is patterning itself on the Venezuela model. The handouts to buy political influence, the making people come to them to beg, the dependency, the lack of focus on employment and sustainable growth in the economy. All of those are from the Venezuela playbook. And that is exactly where we are heading if we don't change the government this year. Because not even the people in government understand what they're doing. When you listen to Lauren Banis Roberts talking at the United Nations, she doesn't get it. Venezuela had elections in May of last year. And Maduro claimed victory from that election for a new 6-year term. Right on cue, the government of Dominica accepted the results and recognized the Maduro regime as the re-elected government of Venezuela, notwithstanding all of the numerous criticisms that condemned the election as fraudulent. Maduro has been rigging elections in Venezuela to stay in office pretty much in the same way as Roosevelt, Skerrit and company have been rigging elections to stay in power in Dominica. There were a number of things that were wrong with that election in Venezuela. Number one, the main rivals of Maduro disavowed the results, claiming that there were massive irregularities in the process, an electoral process, which they decried as a farce that is propping up a dictatorship. You had a number of concerns that the result could have triggered a new round of sanctions from the West against the Maduro regime, even as it was grappling with this devastating economic crisis. Venezuela's election board, the one responsible for elections in Venezuela, is run by cronies of Maduro. I don't want to use the same term in Dominica, but we know from all that we have observed over the years that the Electoral Commission, the majority of the members of the Electoral Commission, are under the influence and under the thumb of Roosevelt Skerrit, and they are there to do his bidding. The turnout in the election was less than 35%. That's an important statistic when people talk about the will of the people of Venezuela. Henry Falcon, Matt, a 56-year-old former state governor who broke ranks of the opposition boycott to contest the election, was not happy with the results. He concluded, quote, "The electoral process undoubtedly lacks legitimacy, and as such, we do not recognize the result." You had critics at home in Venezuela and around the world condemning the electoral process in advance as designed to crown a dictator. There was even outrage over the government's placing of nearly 13,000 pro-government stands, they call them red spots, close to polling stations across the country. And what was these red spots doing? Poor Venezuelan people were asked to scan state-issued fatherland cards at red tents after they voted in the hope of receiving benefits that included food boxes and money transfers. Opposition to Maduro basically said that that was vote buying. That is what it was. It was blatant open vote buying. So, notwithstanding the unpopularity that Maduro has been enduring over the national economic meltdown that the world has been observing in recent years, Maduro benefited from the election he set up in May last year, from the fact that there was an opposition boycott, and also from the fact that there was a ban, listen to this, you know, there was a ban on Maduro's two most popular rivals and very liberal use of state resources in his campaign for re-election. So when the countries in Latin America and around the world examine that body of fact, they said they cannot recognize this regime as the legitimate government of Venezuela because of how the result emerged. Dominica is not concerned about how the result emerged. They're just concerned that Skerrit's friend Maduro, whom he goes to Caracas to campaign for, as he used to go to Caracas to campaign for Chavez and was heard in promotions talking Chavez forever, Chavez forever. But he's hypocritically having his UN representative now talk about non-interference. At the level of the Prime Minister of Dominica, Dominica has been interfering in the internal politics of Venezuela for many years now, for whatever benefits, personal and otherwise, they've been able to derive from it. So this hypocritical talk now about not interfering in what states are doing and so on. It's just that. It is hypocritical, dishonest talk. And this Dominica government now, based on the statement that has been issued, is telling us that it has a concern about the expressions of support for transitional government in Venezuela. In the OAS grouping, there was a 19-4 vote condemning the election of 2018 and basically looking at expelling Venezuela from the OAS. As far as these 19 states were concerned, the election was illegitimate. America in particular had a huge problem with it. Dominica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines and Suriname from the CARICOM grouping said it was all right, and they were recognizing Maduro and stuff, and you understand why. But a number of countries, as far back as June of 2018, shortly after the so-called fraudulent election, had issues with what happened and indicated clearly they were not minded to recognize Maduro as the legitimate leader of the country. So what we've seen here in recent times is a follow-up on all that. Dominica now is standing among a few countries that are supporting Maduro and the legitimacy of Maduro's administration. Lauren Bannis in a statement says that the recognition of a self-declared government outside of the electoral process is a clear repudiation of the will of the people. Well, you need to take note of that, Matt, because you have a media practice. And you must remind the Roosevelt-Sker administration, based on that statement, that they have an interest in the will of the people. There's a will among the people of Dominica for electoral reform. There's a will among the people for a clean, accurate list of voters and ID cards for voting. There's a will among the people for access to media for opposition parties contesting the election. There's a will among the people for campaign finance reform. There's a will among the people for enforcement of the laws, the election laws against bribery and cheating, and all of those irregularities that go on with the overseas vote that Roosevelt, Skerrit and company have been using to steal elections in Dominica. There's a will of the people to resolve that. So it's not just the will of the people of Venezuela that Lauren Bannis and Roosevelt Skerrit ought to be concerned about. There is a will of the people in Dominica that needs to be dealt with. She says that there cannot be a parallel government in Venezuela. Such recognition, listen to this carefully, does not reaffirm the right of the people of Venezuela to peace and democracy. The right of the people of Venezuela to peace and democracy. Again, the right of the people of Venezuela to peace and democracy. And I'm repeating that to make the point to these hypocrites that Dominicans too have a right to peace and to democracy. And Dominicans, in pursuit of those rights to peace and democracy, have been tear gassed with expired tear gas in the streets of the capital for peacefully assembling to dissent and to take objection to the refusal of the government to reform, to facilitate the process of reforming the electoral system. And they say rather it opens the door to confusion and to civil strife. This government is a serial violator of the rights of the people of Dominica to peace and democracy, and constantly through its outrageous demands and requests and impositions on the police force, where public meetings, political meetings, peaceful gatherings, and so on are concerned, it constantly opens the door to confusion and to civil strife in Dominica. But here they are before the United Nations talking about the rights of the people of Venezuela to avoid confusion and civil strife, where they are fomenting confusion and civil strife in Dominica. And they go on to tell us what the international community should be doing instead. It should be extending efforts to help build peace, promote reconciliation, and help find a solution that will not result in bloodshed. This is coming from a government headed by a man who called for the blood of Dominicans to be shed if he did not win the 2014 elections. He told the people of Wesley that the blood of Dominicans would be on the hands of those who voted against his political party. And now they tell us that they want to see reconciliation that will help find a solution that will not result in bloodshed in Venezuela. You don't want bloodshed in Venezuela, but you want the people of Dominica's blood to be shed if you lose elections. And they go on to say, we maintain that in order to peacefully resolve the situation in Venezuela, there must be dialogue between the parties. Where is the dialogue between the parties in Dominica for as fundamental and important a thing as electoral reform? The bishop opened the year raising his voice and his concern about it. Where is the dialogue? Where is the dialogue that involves all the stakeholders, that involves the government coming to the table with clean, honest hands, committed to doing what is right for the people of the Commonwealth of Dominica? And they say, dialogue between the parties, and that Dominica stands ready in conjunction with other like-minded states to offer its good offices, to assist in that regard. I'm sorry, Matt. There's a limit to the exercise of diplomacy where people are blatantly indulging in dishonesty and deception. And that is what this statement is about.
All right. Now, we're going to take a few phone calls. Of course, I just want to make a statement there clearly as to what you experienced with Dr. Sam. Everybody wants to know. We'll come back. Are you there, caller? 449-3095. We have 5 more minutes. We'll take a few more phone calls and wrap things up here this afternoon on the Talk on the Block. Yes, good afternoon to you on the telephone. Yes.
Honorable blessing to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Matt and Lennox and the listening public, now I can see these guys foresaw or they could foresee the demise of Venezuela. So that debt forgiveness was a bribe for Dominica support. That's what I can conclude, because right on the heels of that debt forgiveness and the money and 270 million EC disappear. So I can see it was a bribe for our support. So Skerrit and the one that hold a US green card, I don't know why she don't go into Russia or Venezuela or Cuba or one of those places they like. Go there, China. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Of course, we have limited time. We're going to allow for a few more phone calls. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm Matt.
Uh-huh.
Good afternoon to Lennox.
Good afternoon.
Matt, one of the things that I'm calling on Lauren Bannis and Roosevelt Skerrit to do is to withdraw that support to Maduro, to withdraw that out of Dominica, because that is not us, right? Yeah, and let me big up Lennox, and let me congratulate him on the move to suggest that we will take it up on our own to get our funding for our voter card. Thank you.
It was some time ago, Lennox, before we moved to Dr. Sam, it was some time ago that you made some suggestions as it relates to helping the people of Venezuela, because you must admit that they have helped us.
Man.
Go ahead.
Man, yes. There is nobody in Dominica suffering anywhere near the levels that we see the people of Venezuela suffering. They have no food. They can't afford to buy food. They cannot afford that. And even where they have a little money in their pocket, they have to line up to get it. It is a struggle. It is tight. And we sat back, a government that was boastful over so many years of receiving so much from Venezuela has sat back and has done nothing. And right now, this government is fighting against the right of the people to a better life. All they want is for Maduro to stay there, so they can continue to have access to, like, for example, the $270 million from the resources of the people, the poor people of Venezuela, that they don't have to account for. 14 months ago, the foreign minister of Venezuela stood at the pledging conference in New York and announced debt forgiveness from the Petrocaribe arrangement to Dominica on the order of $100 million or $270 million. 14 months this month, the prime minister of Dominica, notwithstanding numerous questions in the parliament, is refusing to, has failed to, or has not accounted for the $270 million. Now he's telling you all that matters to him in Venezuela is that Maduro stays in office. He doesn't give a damn about the poor, suffering people in Venezuela who cannot eat a meal, who are hungry, who are starving, who are fleeing their country. All he wants is for Maduro to stay there, and they have all these fancy arguments about non-intervention in the internal affairs when he has been himself directly involved in the internal affairs of Venezuela, seeking to keep dictators on the backs of the people of Venezuela while he makes merry with their money, establishing his own little dictatorship here in Dominica.
Leonard Clinton, yes, you say you're going to make...
It is wrong, and we should not stand for it, and Dominicans should understand this is exactly where Venezuela is right now, is exactly where Roosevelt Square is leading us, and it is time to get him out of there.
All right, Leonard Clinton, we have 1 minute and 30 seconds. Give us an update quickly on Dr. Sam. I know you came back yesterday.
We visited Dr. Sam in Martinique. As you know, Matt, he was airlifted to Laminar Hospital in December for emergency care that followed the very unfortunate vehicle accident in Point Michel that resulted in a fractured pelvis. So Dr. Christian had emergency procedures done, surgery and so on. He had the fixator rods put in so that they could stabilize the pelvis and stuff. And he has been on his back resting and healing since he went up there shortly after the several surgical procedures that were done. He's able to come up, incline up on the bed up to a certain point so that he can eat his food and so on. But he's not yet able to sit up at 90 degrees. He will be on his back in bed for a few weeks to come. The expected date when we'll have the fixator rods in the pelvis removed, I'm told, he told us, is middle of February. On Friday, for the first time, his feet touched the ground.
Wow.
And he said it was a really exhilarating experience. But he's recovering. And the next stage from this, he will transition from the bed once the fixator rods are removed to a wheelchair. And then from there, we'll take it step by step into getting back into walking and moving around again. He has good movement in the right leg, not the same situation in the left leg, although there is life there, but it will take a little more time to come back than the right leg. And he's in good spirits. When he's in the bed and the sheets over him and all you see is his face and his hands talking to you, you're talking to normal Sam. But he's in a lot of difficulty. The challenge of recovery is severe, and he's a soldier he's fighting on, but we're very happy to spend quality time with him and to bring to him the wishes and the support of the people of Dominica. He remains very grateful to the government and people of Dominica for assisting him and being with him in this difficult time, and we all continue to hope and pray for his speedy full recovery.
Who went with you on that mission there quickly?
The president of the party, Isaac Baptiste, the deputy political leader, Joshua Francis, and our foreign affairs consultant, Crispin Gregoire.
All right, Lennox Linton, we've passed the time, but we want to say thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, thank you. Thank
God
you.
Bless.
All right, dig yourself always next, Dominica, right here on Q.
They can send them to kill somebody. And they targeting me because they know I know where they coming from. Maliciously keeping the official obeying me not to perform. Balancing for my brothers, sing up our ancestors before we.